Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. I have with me today, Hanako. She's returned.
Hey.
And you know what that means. We're going to be talking about vampires. But first, also, we have Jackie from jerkdoublebitch.com.
Hey.
She's happy to be with us today, and she's going to add to the fangirlism. And our honorary fangirl for today is Eric.
Why'd you have to leave with that? I don't even know how I got here. I took a wrong turn. I don't know what happened.
You watch Felicity, sir. Hush.
No, I didn't. No, this is a reference to our previous recording. No, I was there, but I wasn't watching it.
Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. You know why you need to let it go? Because you watch New Moon. And that's what we're going to talk about right
I'm
now.
I'm fine with that. I can back that up.
Okay, so today we're going to go into New Moon. I watched the movie. I think I waited, 3 weeks to watch it or two weeks to watch it. I wasn't that excited about going to see it because, I don't know, something with the previews just turned me off a little bit. But I knew that I should give it a chance because I had to do a podcast about it and I needed to, you know, be informed. And I ended up really liking the movie. I thought it was really cute and I even related to Bella at one point or another. And I found that kind of surprising. So,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's really weird. Not in the, you know, I wouldn't go for Edward because he, like, Edward had his shirt off. And then what is the other guy? Werewolf guy had his shirt off. And then
Jacob
had his shirt off. And it's like, why would you choose Edward when you see his shirt off?
Move along.
No contest.
Next point.
You hush up. So, Hanako, what did you think? Because I know we've done a previous podcast. We were looking forward to this movie. What did you end up thinking about New Moon?
Overall, I liked it a lot better than I liked Twilight.
Yes.
I think the acting was better. I think the adaption from page to screen was done a lot better. Yes, the eye candy was way better.
Yes.
But, overall, I liked it. Overall, I did. I loved it.
Okay.
So I thought they did a really good job with it.
Okay, Jackie, you've read the books, but you chose not to watch the movies. Why?
That's a great question. I actually, when I first, I read the books because my sister told me they were amazing.
Were they?
And finally got into them. Really enjoyed the first book. Took me a really long time to get through New Moon. And I've never even finished Breaking Dawn. But I was excited to see Twilight, and then it just came out. It was out at like Christmas time last year, right?
Yeah.
I got busy. I didn't end up seeing it, and then the hype was gone. And then me not having seen Twilight, and I didn't end up picking it up anywhere. I just didn't bother to see New Moon either. It had been a plan. I just missed the boat, and that happens with me a lot.
But did you want to see it? Did it interest you at all to see?
I thought that the preview with adding Jacob to the mix really did look interesting. I loved that scene in the preview with where he jumped and turned into the wolf. I thought that looked really great. And I actually liked a lot of the themes in the book, like having Bella jump off a cliff and all that. That was exciting. I don't really like Bella's motives as a girl. And I'm not sure that I agree with all the people that get so riled up about this. And I think the biggest thing for me was that, I guess this is prejudgmental, but I didn't really like the casting. I don't like Kristen Stewart. I don't like her attitude. I don't like her face. I don't like anything about her.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is like the nasty, Canadians get 5 minutes a week to be mean, and that's it. I don't like Kristen Stewart. And I don't really like Mr. Patterson either. He's not exciting to me. I don't think he's attractive. I don't know. So I guess that turned me off. In my head, Edward didn't look like that.
Oh, so you read the book. Okay.
Yeah, when I read the book, Edward was buff, and I think that's my own fault. I think I did that to him. But,
what about you, Hunter? You read the book. Did you have a different picture of Edward in your head, or did you always have Pattinson? I can't pronounce it.
Well, see, here's the thing. I didn't even pick up Twilight to read until I knew Robert Pattinson was doing the movie.
Oh,
that's the only reason why I even got interested in doing Twilight, because, you know, he's a previous Potter actor.
Yeah.
So
all about
finding that out and saying, yes. So I was like, okay, he's doing this movie, and apparently it's a big deal because you have half of the fangirls who love him and half of them who are like, discussed it with the fact that he's made this that he's cast. So I was like, okay, well, I guess let me read the book, see what they're about and stuff. And I think for me, as far as the comparisons for him with New Moon, I will say this. I think that they did a lot in the makeup department to try to downplay him a little bit and pump up Jacob more, because if you look at like a lot of the behind the scenes shots from when they filmed some of those scenes, he didn't look as pasty. He didn't look as frail when you look at the behind the scenes stuff. And it's like, when it came to the screen, I was like, I saw the picture when they filmed that scene and he did not look like that.
Yeah, he had on way too much makeup. They had on lipstick. It was just, I don't know. It was a little bit of like.
They did.
I don't understand why they did that.
I think for me, it's like they were trying too much to put Jacob on the pedestal for this movie and just kind of move Edward to the background, which I can understand that because Jacob is the focus of New Moon, but I think Taylor Lautner did a pretty good job of standing out on his own without needing the extra push. I mean, Edward and even Rosalie, they look, makeup wise, they looked really off to me in this movie. They looked a lot better in the first movie to me.
And they looked a little more human.
You know, yeah. They did. Especially Edward. Edward was a little more, they made him a little more beautiful in the first movie, whereas they didn't do that so much with this one.
They totally
so it's like
not.
I can understand people saying, well, why would, you know, why? Because, I mean, he's a gorgeous man, so, but this is my opinion, but
Robert,
he is, and it just, yeah.
Okay.
I have a huge fangirl crush on him, but anyway, you know, just the way that they did his makeup, I mean, it's like, if you looked closely, you could kind of see where the makeup was, you know, just not done right. So I don't know. They need to get new makeup people. I'm not very impressed with what they've been doing. So
I think the sparkle was a little better in this movie.
It was, and I think it's because we didn't really have to see it that much. And it wasn't, I think because people were already expecting what they saw in the first one, it just really wasn't so much a big deal in this one.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know, because it looked the same to me, but because there wasn't the big reveal, you got to see what I look like in the sunlight and all this other stuff, it just...
Maybe I'm kinda accustomed to it.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what it was. It's like, we saw it in the first movie, we didn't like it, and, you know, I don't think the director's focus was necessarily the sparkle. I think more so it was as far as the special effects with the werewolves and everything. So, you know, I think it'll take a lot more money for them to get that exactly right. And I think at this point, it's not really that much of a big deal. That's just my honest opinion.
Eric, you're too quiet.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to begin. I have a lot to say about this New Moon stuff. And because,
okay, let's start with you think Chris is her name, Kristen, right? I've done no research. I don't know their real names.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart. Uh-huh.
He thinks she's pretty. So let's start with
that. I really do. Let's see, because I came into Twilight and New Moon relatively very recently, and never read the books or anything. And I was pretty much agnostic on the whole franchise this whole last year that it's exploded. I didn't really hate it, but I didn't also wasn't motivated to check it out in any way. How it started actually was 2 or 3 months ago. I saw Kristen Stewart in this other movie she did recently called Adventureland, and I think that's probably perhaps the first movie I've ever seen her in anything. And I watched Adventureland, and it was a pretty just okay, decent movie. But I really liked her in that movie. I was like, this is the Twilight girl? Wow. Something about her just really intrigued me, and I like kind of just latched onto her as an actress or whatever from that other movie. And that's kind of what motivated me much more to now watch Twilight. And because New Moon was coming and all the hype, I decided, you know what, I'm going to check out Twilight. And so I just saw Twilight for the very first time about 2 weeks before New Moon came out. So I just like jumped into it. And I liked Twilight a lot more than I thought I was going to like it. And as far as Kristen Stewart, that's kind of what helped get me, because I actually saw this with two other very heterosexual alpha males. We all saw New Moon together. And,
like yourself.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Yes. And that's what really helped us get through the slower parts of New Moon, was just seeing like Kristen Stewart's face like 10 feet tall on the screen. Like, that was like enough.
But aren't there other women in it?
What was that?
Like, aren't there other women in it that are like very attractive as well?
There's only one other. There's one other who I really like as far as that goes. And that's whoever plays Alice, the vampire Alice. She is also delightful.
Yeah, Ashley Green, yes.
Yeah, she is delightful as well.
Ashley Green, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, also, but obviously Bella gets most of the screen time, and I'm cool with her her little attitude, her little the way she acts. It doesn't really bother me at all. It's kind
like,
of
do you mean?
Funny. Huh? Do I mean what?
Do you mean like her attitude on screen, or do you mean
yes,
her attitude
yes,
off
yes,
screen?
Yes, 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 yes. I don't know. Oh, yeah, off screen. I don't know very much about her off screen, so I'm only talking about her on screen, yeah.
Well, and I think that's where our difference is, that the reason that I'm not attracted to it is that she seems totally ungrateful for the amount of fame that's come out of this and the opportunities that it's given her. And for me, for an artist, for an actor, it totally turns me off their work. That's where I'm at. I'm judging before.
Yeah, I'm not a Kristen Stewart expert, but just from what little I've got from seeing a little bit of like interviews and things like that, it seems to me she's just like a young actress. You know, she's been in the business since she was a young child. I think she's very just generally, oh, I'm totally
spoiled.
Like, speaking out of my mind. I mean, speaking out of my ass right now.
No,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's not even that she's spoiled.
I think she's just kind of deluded. Like, she's just kind of used to it, and she's just kind of jaded in her own hype with the explosion of the recent Twilight thing. I don't.
No, it's complete. That's completely not how it's basically with her. She's been in this business for so long, but she's for the longest time she's mainly done independent movies.
Sure.
And she has said it herself. She's used to doing little movies that nobody really cares about, which is cool with her because she gets to pick and choose the movies that she wants to do. And, you know, she's not your typical teen Hollywood actress. Oh, I have to be everywhere. I have to be in everything. You know, I want my face on everything. She's not like a Paris Hilton or a Lindsay Lohan, you know. And so for her to be in Twilight, yeah, exactly. But so for her to be in Twilight and to have this built-in fan base and for them to be as fanatic about it as they are, I think it caught her off guard. And when you're not used to dealing with that kind of adoration from fans or that kind of demand from fans, it can be a little off-putting. I mean, just the differences from her interviews when she was promoting Twilight and her interviews for New Moon, you can see she's gotten a lot more comfortable with it. And she started to embrace it more because she realizes, okay, this is what it's going to be like. This is what I have to get used to if I plan on continuing with this character. But, I mean, she's even said it at the premiere, talking to you know, talking to interviewers, she said, you know, honestly, I would rather be hanging out with the fans than sitting here doing this kind of stuff. It's not that she's ungrateful. It's just for some to go from relatively, you know, being unknown to being like a huge star overnight for anyone would be daunting. And she was only 17 when she started this. So,
yeah, and
you know,
I
think
cool,
it was
but
a,
I'm not
a little
gonna,
bit
like,
of an adjustment period.
What'd you say, Jackie?
And here's the thing, I don't think she's not the type of personality that's asking for anybody to feel sorry for her, but she's also not the type of personality to where she's going to go against what she believes and what she feels just to please the masses, and
but
that's one of the things
like
I like about her.
Clothes on and like washing her hair before an interview and not looking bored out of her mind. I don't know. That's just my opinion on this, and I'm being rude now. But
no, no, you're not.
Like that, she just has to. If someone's going to be like that, they have to realize that that other side of that expense is people like me who aren't going to watch the movies for that reason.
Is this true that she went around not washing her hair or bathing in interviews? I mean, as a human and a woman, that's what the hell is that? Is that true?
I've
have
never
you heard
seen
that
her in an interview. I've never seen her in an interview where she doesn't look put together. You know what I'm saying? So okay. I'm not sure where that's coming from because I watch a lot of the interviews. I watch the Comic-Con videos and just different experiences with fans. And, you know, I've never seen it to where she was like that. Now, I've heard rumors about that about Robert Pattinson. But even now, people are starting to say, no, Robert Pattinson is one of those, he says the first thing that comes out of his mouth. And one of the things that he was notorious for saying last year was with the big deal about his hair. He was like, oh yeah, I haven't washed it in weeks or something. But come to find out in another interview, he's like, no, I was just completely bullshitting around and people just took it around with it. So, you know, I don't know. I've never seen her in an interview where she looked a hot mess. I've not seen it. You know.
Yeah, so. I've seen her. I mean, I've seen her made up as well. She just looked crazy though in some of the interviews where she was made up. But I've seen her with crazy hair or wearing some crazy outfit that I'm assuming someone told her to wear, but just looks like wow, where is this coming from? I've noticed that before in some of her random interviews.
Yeah, maybe that's where I'm at.
You mean like more recently?
Yeah, I've seen some with her hair has been
because
like,
she has
kind of like standing up and looking crazy. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
I care not. I like the way she looks in the Twilight movies. That's all I know.
I think in some of the scenes, it seemed like she was struggling a little bit to emote or something, but then it's like, either it was that or that the character was having a hard time emoting, and I couldn't see the line between her and the character and what is, because I've never seen her in anything else, and I don't know if that was bad acting or her being an awkward youth.
I've only seen her like in Adventureland. In Adventureland, she seems very similar as well, at least in her acting presentation. And so I was just judging off that. I was thinking maybe she's a bit like Zooey Deschanel in that Zooey Deschanel always just does her same mode of acting, I guess. It's almost like her trademark, Zooey. And I was thinking maybe Kristen is the same type of way that she just kind of, she's almost, and it's a pro or a con depending on how you look at it, but she's almost like a one-note kind of actor, you know, and some people like that, and obviously many people don't like that for other reasons. But that's just the feeling I get from the few movies of hers that I've seen. But it doesn't bother me, though. I'm totally cool with it. Like, if she just always plays it like that, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, Eric, let's go special effects. How'd you like those?
Well, okay. Well, let me just, like, expand it a little bit more for special effects, because one thing that I really loved about Twilight, and is a bit off and a little bit different for me in New Moon, not the special effects per se, because Twilight doesn't have as many special effects, but it does tie into special effects, the cinematography. Because the cinematography is definitely heavily CGI tweaked. Monica was talking about earlier, when you see the raw footage of both films, it looks very, very different from when you see the final product on the screen. they use like CGI to some degree to affect the lighting and the skin tones, especially. Because I was just watching deleted scenes from Twilight before we did this, and Bella and Edward look completely different in the untouched footage from Twilight. Very different, their skin and everything. And so, and the thing I loved about Twilight that just grabbed me right away is the color palette and the cinematography. I love it in Twilight. It's very it's like bluish, glowing,
mm-hmm.
white. It's crazy. I love it. I love it aesthetically. But New Moon is very different. It's much more brown, autumn tone looking throughout the whole film. And fine, I get that. I get a change in tone. Many movies do that when they go through a series of stories. But I was very much wondering though about the change in director, because I'm a big person who like always follow those types of things, like who directed this movie and who directed that movie, especially in a series of films. And I was very much wondering why they changed director, and I haven't had a chance to really like dig into that on the internet to find out. But I was thinking perhaps the reason is because they were going to have the werewolves in the second film. I noticed that the director who they got to do New Moon, Chris Weitz, he also directed Golden Compass. And I was wondering if perhaps mm-hmm. that's the reason they wanted to go with someone else, because they were thinking, oh, we're going to have these CGI creatures. And the lady who directed Twilight, Catherine Hardwicke, she was known more for doing indie films, not really like sci-fi fantasy. So I was wondering if that was the reason why they changed. I don't know. But I missed that aspect because I love the cinematography and look of the first film. And a lot of it was lost in New Moon. That was one of the few things that bothered me a little.
I have to disagree. I think this movie looked way better. I think it looked way crisper. You can totally tell that it had a better budget. I was really impressed with the werewolf, from the transformation to the movement of the hair. I mean, you couldn't really do that on a low budget, like you said, the original one, or if you did, it would look like a sci-fi original and everybody would be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I
have no qualms with the werewolves themselves. I'm not saying anything about that, but just the rest of the overall cinematography. And also, I can't judge New Moon fully from a visual point of view until I get it on Blu-ray, because I've seen Twilight on Blu-ray, and I haven't seen... Because I'm just saying, because for, like, you know, with other movies, like Star Trek, I saw the movies, it looked fine, but the Blu-ray really blows it away. And I've only seen Twilight on Blu-ray, and the Twilight Blu-ray looks amazing, amazing. And New Moon, I only saw at the movies. I need to see the Blu-ray of that, too, and see if it pops off the screen as well, like, before I make my...
Well, I mean, I think the red scene towards the end, mm-hmm. with all the robes or whatever, that kind of popped to me, because you had, like, I guess a brown Italy with all the buildings. They were brown, and it was sunny, and then you had all of the red in the street, and I just think that it's just... amazing color.
Definitely, there. Definitely.
And it was just very, very pretty.
Yeah.
So...
I got Hanako, more. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you do have more?
I mean, I have other directions.
I just want to talk about the Volturi and how they fit into this movie. I thought they were going to be a little more interesting. You know, one of the Volturi is a guy from Sanctuary. He's Jack the Ripper from Sanctuary. Just throw that out there. Hanako, the book versus this movie.
The Volturi had a bigger presence in the books. Even with the scene in Italy, I was kind of expecting a little bit more from that scene, because it's like there's been so much hype for the Volturi the last couple of weeks of promotion, and then when we got there, aside from Michael Sheen's character Arrow and the little fight scene there, which, you know, the fight scene was great, but there was not, I don't think there was enough. Like, I was totally expecting more to be done with Jane, Dakota Fanning's character, because in the books, yeah, that's Dakota Fanning. And in the books, Jane is like, she's a force to be reckoned with. She's like the Volturi's version of Dolores Umbridge. You know,
God.
She's the one who, she's, I mean, there was a reason why in the movie, you know, when they suggested that she test her powers on Bella, that Edward had the reaction that he had, and it's because in the book she's presented as like very scary. You know, she's supposed to look childlike, but she's supposed to be one of the most she's one of the crueler members of the Volturi. And so I was a little bit disappointed with the scene because I was expecting a little bit more. But you know, I mean, what can you do with a 2-hour movie? You know, some things are going to have to be cut, and I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to save the majority of the Volturi stuff for maybe Eclipse and Breaking Dawn.
Well, they seem kind of like a joke in this movie. I wasn't that afraid of them. Like you said, Dakota Fanning, I got that she was powerful, but I didn't get it to the point to where it was enough for the movie. But like you said, I expect a little bit more because they played them up. And I think maybe because you were talking about them a little bit more that I was just like, oh, that's, wow. That's just like going to see some outdated buffoons say some, you know, crazy stuff. And it just really, it didn't do anything for me. I'm glad it was there. Maybe they'll elaborate on it in the future, whatever. But I do have a question. Both Jackie and Hanako read books. What is it, and I'm just going for True Blood, and I'm not sure about Vampire Diaries, but what is this deal with vampires really loving women that they can't hear their thoughts? I mean, what is that about? Why?
I can understand that, like, especially more with, like, Bill and Sookie, that it's a break. It's especially, like, with Sookie can't hear him either, right? That it's quietness for them. I don't know.
Well, so, I mean, it's funny. Hearing women thought of women to remain silent, be seen and not heard. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think that's it.
It's basically like a peaceful thing. It's like if you happen to be in a room, you know, say you're in a conference area and you hear all these voices just speaking to you, and it's like that's what people like Edward or Sookie, you know, that's what they have to deal with. It's like they get to hear everybody's thoughts, not just the good thoughts. They hear the bad thoughts too. So they get all of this all the time unless they learn how to control keeping those voices out. But then you're presented with someone who you can sit in a room with and be absolutely blissful because you can't hear their thoughts, and there's an element of mystery to them.
See,
you know, they're not such an open book, so you actually have a chance to kind of really get to know them, and, you know, get to know them, you know, the way a normal person would, as opposed to, you know, standing in front of somebody asking them a question. They say one thing, but you know they're thinking another.
Okay.
I think that's kind of what the appeal is.
I definitely thought about this a lot, this particular aspect, and I don't exactly know how it fits into like vampire lore. I don't know how it fits into vampire lore at large, but I've always taken it as like right from the get-go in True Blood and in I don't even know what you call it, the Twilight series. I've always taken it as a metaphor because I really connect to that aspect. And for me, it's not necessarily the inner peace angle that you just mentioned. For me, I took it as a metaphor as how the vampires can feel other people's thoughts and read their thoughts. To me, that reminds me, from looking at myself, going through everyday life and every female or whoever I run into, like, no one seems to stand it. They all seem the same. It seems like having a conversation, let's say, with a new girl I just met, it seems like everything's predictable. Like, if I say, and she says something, oh, yeah, okay. I just know what she's going to say. I know how she's going to, you know. Everything seems so predictable. You already, as a guy, you feel like you already know, you think you know the girl. You might be wrong, but in your head, you think you already have this person figured out. You know what, like, how they are, what kind of group they fit into. And then the most exciting thing, at least from my personal experience, is when you meet some girl who all of a sudden you just cannot read her. You're like, what? Like, she says the most unexpected things to you as a guy, the most profound things that you just never expected to hear. And to me, and that, my goodness, that is exactly the kind of female I'm drawn to in real life. So when I see it presented in these vampire stories, I always just automatically took it as a direct metaphor for that. Just finding someone who's different and unique to you. and doesn't seem like everybody else out there. I mean, it just seemed always so straightforward to me. I never even questioned it before.
You were going into dangerous territory there for a while.
You are.
I was like, wow, he has some balls because he's getting ready to beat up.
Again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
You made up for it at the end. But
It was good.
No, because it wasn't right or wrong. It's just how we perceive it.
Jackie, what?
Oh, I just think it's probably, at least with Bill and Sookie, it's because he's going to sleep with her anyway, and it's not as much fun if you can hear what they're thinking. Anyway.
Oh, but now I'm glad I'm here, though.
I've got to be part of it.
I'm glad I'm here, though, now, at least to give the alternate take on New Moon and Twilight, because I want to get into this, too. I mean, because I enjoyed the film, I really did, and so did my heterosexual buddies I was talking about earlier. We all enjoyed it, and I'm surprised when I was making some tweets or some messages on Facebook, other guys I know who are very, NFL, UFC-centric, they all came out of the woodwork saying, oh yeah, New Moon was pretty cool, and I was like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, what's
That's because it had the special effects.
No,
you're allowed to see this
one because it's... made them see it.
First and foremost, it was the wife/girlfriend thing. Definitely, that was what got everybody in the door for the most part. But I mean, because obviously, as guys, we don't connect with the story the way I think most girls and females and women out there do. We definitely don't connect on it in that level. And yes, we do like the pretty faces, like Alice and Chris. We almost all agree on that, but. Like I said, for me, it was a lot of fun watching New Moon because like in Twilight, the most enjoyable thing about me for watching Twilight was every time in Twilight, one of the characters makes like some funky facial expression to the camera. It was mostly done by the Cullen family throughout the film, especially in the high school scenes. I just laugh out loud hysterically. I find it hilarious, especially the vampire brother. The one with the big curly hair, blonde hair. I don't know his name. Alice's boyfriend.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy cracks me up in the films every time they just show his face for a second. Because he always makes a horrified, strange, uncomfortable look to the camera. Like in every scene that he's in Twilight. And he's only like in two scenes in New Moon. And he does it in New Moon. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, high five.
Because honestly, that's how his character is.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Even in the books, his character is always uncomfortable.
I can't wait to read about it. But it cracks me up. One of my favorite scenes in Twilight is when Bella and Edward first do like some PDA and walk to school together. Like they ride together and they get out of the car and they're walking to the school. And then the Cullens are in their convertible. And whatever his name is, Curly Hair, is like shocked and appalled. Oh my God. I just like watched that one part. Just to see his face. So hilarious. Okay,
Eric, I'm going to cut you off. Why I'm going to cut you off? Because I don't want to hear that. I want to talk more about Jacob and his character.
That's where I'm going. I'm getting to Jacob next.
Okay, well, good. I saw that in your brain because I heard you. Because,
that's my next entertaining.
Because you're not his street girl.
Jacob was the most obvious, inappropriate for older women eye candy in this movie.
Oh my God. I so was watching Cheaper by the Dozen the other day. Uh-huh. Cheaper by the Dozen 2 was on TV, and he's like 5 years old.
Oh my
movie.
God. Stop it. Just stop.
And I was like, oh no.
Oh God, that's so gross.
Anyway.
So how old is he? Does anybody know his
actual name? You want to really be free? If you really want to be freaked out, go look at The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl. He's Shark Boy.
Oh, I'm so
really?
I grew up a little bit. How old is he? Does anybody know?
He's
17.
Oh, my God.
He's 17.
Oh, God.
He's 17 right now, yes.
I thought it was so hilarious, like in the movie, when they say his age is 16 in the movie. I thought that was so hilarious.
Are you kidding me?
He is 17 years old, yes.
How is that possible that he said... Did you see...
Yes.
I want to say, too, though...
And here's the thing. I've seen the transformation, so it's like, for him to go from where he was to where he went, and I mean, he did that... I mean, literally, the 30 pounds, the first time he showed his new body, I was like, oh my God, oh, I just, yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of switching to Team Jacob by the time New Moon comes out.
Wow. Because Bella, like, hit his stomach with her fist, and it's just like thud and nothing. And what
is that? Yeah, I thought it was unhealthy for children to bodybuild.
Yeah, I think we should take up a protest about that, because we're so angry.
No, you guys can do that on your own.
Yeah, I don't. But if we do the protest, we get to, you know, demonstrate with pictures and show people exactly what we're.
But while his physique was real and everything,
Team Save Jacob.
Wow.
I know. We're saving him. We're saving your soul, young man.
I know his physique and muscles are obviously real. There was at least two scenes, particular scenes in New Moon, where I thought that they used some camera or computer trickery to make him look even larger. There was like two scenes in particular. Oh, I wish I.
Oh yeah, you would say that.
No, seriously though, there was one. there was two scenes where Bella was facing him face to face. I think it might have been like, it was close to when he first revealed to her like his true self. It was close to that part, and they were standing face to face. And I swear they did some like the movie 300 trickery. They made him look like a foot taller than he really is, and just humongous, ginormous, standing next to her like the Hulk. Like it was. I swear, I know I can't be imagining it. There was two scenes. I do not believe that was just straightforward the way we saw the two particular. But okay, yes, it is his real physique. Okay. No.
That would have been part of the thing, though.
Would you say again?
Would you say, Jackie?
That could have been part of the thing, though, because I know in the books, at least, and I know you're talking about him as a man at that point, but the wolves were said to be, like, massive creatures, right? Like, these are huge, huge. And he grew really quickly. In the books, that was part of the deal when he was, like, transforming. He just shot up.
Well, honestly, I would not be surprised. I would seriously not be surprised if in the special features they show how they cheated a bit to make him look even larger.
Look at that. He you see that, Hanako? He's trying to I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only person hearing that.
You guys were all on this particular point. I guarantee you there are a couple scenes tweaked that make it makes sense from a directorial point of view. If you're the director, it makes sense, especially for those two particular scenes. You're gonna want to make him look even larger than he already is. It makes sense. I don't fault them for that.
That's good.
But I want to say more about
it. I'm going to save you from that, Eric, and we're going to move on to Vampire Diaries.
Oh, wait. Okay. I just want to say a couple more things about Jake.
Okay, what else?
Again, this is from the curmudgeon guy point of view. And, I mean, I never read the books. I didn't know anything about the story going in. But from Twilight, right away, I kind of predicted what was going to happen in New Moon, just from watching Twilight, because I was like, oh, this Jacob. I saw his character and how his character was going to fit in the story coming a mile away just from his few scenes in the first movie. And honestly, I just think he's a D-bag, all right? Even though... Look, you're gonna again eat smoke when you hear me call.
Really? I mean, he's just 17. He's doing his job. He's going to work like everybody else. The other two didn't even take showers when they did interviews. I probably showered twice.
Let me finish first. As I call him a D-bag or think that he, or perceive him as one, I have to say at the same time, I relate to him so much in certain ways, especially my younger self. So in a way, again, so maybe it's insight. Maybe because I knew I was a D-bag, she's a teenager. I saw the same qualities.
You need to write a book on like the psychology of Twilight from a man.
You know what? You might
from the D-bag perspective.
You might seriously be onto something there. But I mean, so I saw my own douchebaggery from my own past in Jacob. So I totally related to that and just said, oh, because I know my faults from when I was young. I had many, a long list of faults. And Jacob has a lot of those faults that I, too, had. So you know, that's why I think I have a little insight there. So, you know, so I hate him, but it's like because I hate my old self, too. But,
You know what? No, Eric, stop.
You're having a breakthrough.
A my god.
No, but this is not. I mean, this is all the past. But fast forward to the moon. Oh my goodness. I laughed out loud so many times in the theater as if I was watching a comedy, even though I wasn't. Because almost every time Jacob spoke in New Moon, I just thought it was hilarious. When he called the guy a marshmallow at the movie theater, oh my goodness, I was laughing so loud.
That was hilarious.
Oh. And then the other part, when Bella came, it was either when she brought the motorcycle to his place to have it fixed or worked on, or it was when she went crazy on the bike. I'm not sure which part it was, but oh my goodness. Jacob was like,
"You're beautiful."
No. He was like, "What, girl? Are you loca?" And I was like, "What did he just say? What?" He said loca in the craziest way I've ever heard that word spoken. Oh, I was dying in the aisle laughing so hard.
Wasn't sure if he was Native American or Mexican, right?
Oh, I was dying. Hilarious. And I just drank half a pitcher of beer. It was awesome. Oh god. So I was so red in the face watching that, in a good way, watching that movie. It was hilarious. I just had to get that on the podcast.
Wow, you just watched it.
I did.
I didn't know this movie was that enjoyable for guys. Jeez.
Me and my friends were arguing about who was the bigger D-bag, like Edward or Jacob. We were seriously arguing because I was saying Jacob's such a D-bag.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about? Jacob was like the best guy because Edward was like a pansy. I was like, who cares about – oh, it was weird to be arguing about this among guys.
Yeah,
it was really weird.
Yeah, it's real weird.
You need to do an all-guy podcast of, like, Team Jacob versus Team Edward. That'd
be
awesome.
My God. It sounds like.
No, this is, these guys would never put this out in public, I don't think.
Only you.
I just wanted to briefly talk about Vampire Diaries. It was, it's a vampire show as well. And the reason why I bring it up is because it kind of reminds me a lot of Vampire Diaries reminds me of Twilight. Is it as good as Twilight? Is it?
Okay. No, I went and I watched the first episode with total intent to see what it was going to be like. I didn't read the books. I know it's from a book series as well. And I don't know. I think starting out, just like my Kristen Stewart grudge, I had a grudge with it because it was taking Smallville's spot and ruining my perfect like Thursday night of Smallville and Supernatural, which I have loved for years. And now they're broken up and it's terrible. Anyway, so I was kind of, I was hoping, and I was thinking it would be a really good lead-in to Supernatural, and I was hoping I was going to love it, and I didn't. I watched the first episode, and I found it too high school, and honestly, I think I'm kind of over that part of my life, maybe. I don't know. It seemed so very high school.
Well, I guess even Smallville isn't high school anymore, so that grew up as well.
Right. Thank God.
Yeah. You didn't give it like another chance? Because, I mean, you didn't even like Damon? That didn't even intrigue you at all?
What, Somerhalder? Is that...
Yeah.
I thought Somerhalder was way too old for that role. I think he's, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it didn't fit for me. Now, I know that there's, like, they've got backstory there with the family being in town before, and I'm assuming some kind of massacre... or something happened there. I don't know. I didn't keep watching. But I don't know. I think the first episode kind of wrapped itself up too much, and I didn't have a whole lot of need to see what would happen next. The characters didn't really intrigue me too much to keep me going. What was the other one?
Wow, that's a lot there.
I know. I got a lot of opinions.
Okay.
And I think we're just too saturated with vampires right now. I didn't need another one.
Okay. Eric, why didn't you keep with this one?
Pretty brief, but I mean, right away, before the first commercial break, it just already oozed of just CW-ness to me. Like, I don't know what else you want to call it, you know. And yeah, I can't watch any show on that network, you know, currently. And you know, Smallville's the only one, and that was in the early days of Smallville. I used to be a fan of it, but that train left a long time ago for me. So, and I just cannot connect with any CW program whatsoever. That's just too much for me. And you know what? Occasionally there is the high school show that I do attach to. I won't
Felicity.
That's not a high school show. That's a college show. But I mean, I won't bring up my guilty pleasure that I don't talk about, Glee over there. But I mean, that's a ridiculous guilty pleasure. But and so every once in a while something comes along like that. But no, I just can't really watch anything on CW. Like, so I mean, it's pretty
so
short.
How can we?
And that guy so who you were talking about earlier. I'm sorry, but that guy you were talking about earlier, were you referring to Boone from Lost? Is that who you were talking
about?
Yes. See, he has the opposite reaction on me. Like, I guess he draws you in. When I see Boone come in, like in any production, any show, I go running the other way because
you don't like him.
Something about he looks too pretty.
I thought he was compelling.
He looks too pretty, and so because of that, I always that just puts me off even more. So it has the opposite effect on me than it does on you. So.
Oh my god.
But that's probably nice to hear me on this podcast.
Okay, Hanako, how can we sell them on watching this show?
I mean, the only thing I mean, this is just my personal thing. I never judge a show by the first episode because they, you know, you have some shows that can come off with a hot, you know, pilot, and then you have some shows like True Blood. I didn't begin liking it until the fourth episode.
That is true.
Because it moved along too slow for me, and I just think, you know, with any new show that looks, you know, kind of interesting, you got to kind of give it a shot, and you're not going to, there's only so much that you're going to be able to do in an hour. And so if you judge a show just based on the first hour, you could be missing a potentially great show.
But are they
missing
something?
You know,
are,
that
are
first
they?
Impression.
No, I
are they?
I totally agree with you on that. I think that's totally valid.
Do you? I mean, what is she? What can? Is there any? Why do we like it? I know I like it. I like it because of Ian. I think he was very compelling as an evil guy. I think he's better than he was in Lost. I think for that.
Oh, I mean, yes. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the other podcast. I mean, he does evil beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've looked at a bad guy character. I mean, he's like inherently evil. He just doesn't give a damn, and you still like, oh. I really, you know, I really shouldn't like you, but I really, really like you. And, you know, he plays that character so well that it's like you're really conflicted as to whether to like him or hate him, you know. And, I mean, I just think, you know, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's become like a new addiction for me. The show is, I think it's beautifully done. And it appeals to me more than the rich kid shows do, you know, the Gossip Girls and the One Tree Hills and all that other crap. I hate those kinds of shows, but you know, the one thing that's kind of sold me on Vampire Diaries and even with like the True Bloods and Twilight is the fact that the characters are not necessarily supposed to be these, you know, rich, well-to-do, you know, model good looks type of people. Like, the characters are supposed to be your everyday average characters, you know, and that kind of appeals to me more than, you know, looking at 16-year-olds who have, you know, supermodel good looks and all the money in the world and driving Porsches and, you know, sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and everybody, you know, around.
Yeah.
It appeals to me more, you know. And then, you know, with the Vampire Diaries, it does have a lot of similarities to Twilight. But, you know, Vampire Diaries was done 17 years ago. So, you know, as far as the books go. So, you know, I just think that she had a good, you know, idea. Just wasn't time for that yet.
Jackie,
and I
did
think
you read...
now with the...
Did you read the Vampire Diaries at all, Jackie? Or just the Twilight?
No, I haven't. Okay. I wouldn't even say I'm a huge vampire person. Like, I was into Angel when I was out. Not even a, not a truly dedicated Buffy fan. I liked Buffy, but I wasn't dedicated.
Okay.
There was so much fuss about Twilight, you just couldn't really avoid it. I think all of us are caught in that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, as far as vampire, well, if you don't like vampire lore, and I think Eric is gone.
No, time out, because it's funny, because actually, I was a fan, I never read any of these books, but I was a fan of the Vampire Chronicles, and I was a fan of Anne Rice, and I loved Interview with the Vampire, the book, and Queen of the Damned, and all that. I just wanted to put that out there. I'm not, I actually am a, you know, I love Lost Boys, you know?
Oh, I love you now.
Oh, okay. I actually do like vampires a heck of a lot, because just for me, I have this thing about the whole immortality thing, because I've always had a crazy feeling of always wishing I could stay young or in my prime. And that's always been the biggest fascination for me with vampires, is like being able to like keep like that eternal youth. And so that's always been the draw for me.
And so, you know, keeping in that and not, I mean, even with the show Vampire Diaries, maybe the vampire lore, maybe they'll have a little twist on it. I mean, nothing like that would bring either you or Jackie back to it, or it's just, saw it the one time with the production value and it was just, I can't do it. I mean, it's perfectly okay, because if you're not going to watch it, you're just not going to do it.
Okay, well, we had shows like, for me, I loved Moonlight. I thought Moonlight was fantastic. I loved their take on vampire lore. It was great. I enjoyed it a lot. I really love Doering, though, Jason Doering, so okay. I will watch him do anything. but that was like a more adult take, and I think I'm ready to go that way with it, with my vampire love instead of younger. I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't try it again. It just didn't make my must-see right now list.
Okay.
Well, just in case you get interested, you know that they are doing a marathon of Vampire Diaries this week.
Whoa. See, that's the thing.
I'm just saying. The 10 episodes that have already aired, the CW will be playing them 2 hours each night this week, beginning tomorrow. It's a great time to catch up.
For me, the major problem is just like too much out there. I already have my plate is already too full with everything else.
Oh,
that's the biggest. No, honestly, that's the biggest problem. And right away, like CW kind of shot themselves in the foot for me, because you can't watch the CW shows on Hulu, only on the CW website. Because I was like, I'm gonna try to catch up on the first few episodes of Vampire Diaries, and the same thing with Supernatural. What? They're both on Hulu? Sorry, because it's just... Yeah, I could have watched them on the CW website, but it was too cumbersome, and I watch a lot of this stuff.
Oh, but hey!
Yeah?
They just found out... it just got posted, like, online probably 2 or 3 hours ago, but TNT has now secured the rights to show Supernatural in reruns, so beginning January 4th, they're going to start with the pilot episode and start airing the reruns of Supernatural.
Oh, okay.
Is that the end?
I just retweeted that while we were podcasting. Exciting.
Oh, yeah, I tweeted that like 3 hours ago.
Look at y'all.
I'm so far behind. What will I do?
Oh, my God. Speaking of Supernatural, I'm really sad this show is ending. We're on break, right? We're on... the mid-season break, or
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, hiatus.
The hiatus. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did we think about the two deaths of the ladies, the two hunters, the mother and daughter? I really thought that was sad.
Oh God, that killed me. Oh, Ellen and Joe, that killed me. I mean, my friends and I were online, all of us just boo-hooing, and that killed me. That killed me. But at the same time, it's not really unexpected, because one of the biggest debates in the Supernatural fandom is the fact that they tend to kill off most of their female characters. And so for Joe and Ellen to stay, I mean, they've been on the show off and on since season two. So for them to have even lasted this long was spectacular in itself. And then, you know, for them to go out the way that they did, it's like, it's what you expected, but at the same time, it was just, it was so heartbreaking to watch, you know, especially the scenes with Dean and Joe and just, you know, missed chances. It's, it was heartbreaking, heartbreaking.
Jackie, did you expect that at all?
I did actually.
Once Joe got hurt. Go ahead.
Well, I was watching the show and on Twitter at the same time, and what's his first name? Jim Beaver.
Yeah.
Jim Beaver, who plays Bobby, was tweeting while it was airing on the East Coast. And he was.
Oh.
Halfway through, he tweeted something about Bobby dying. He goes, "Oh, sorry for the spoiler." And I flipped my shit. I was like, "Are you kidding me? They're killing Bobby. What's going on?" I started writing a blog right then. I was like, "I have to write this book right now. This is so terrible." And then it ends up that he doesn't die, right? And I was like, "You bastard. To play with your fans like that. Like, you're such a jerk." Anyway, I was very upset at Jim Beaver that night. But which I thought was hilarious after the fact. I didn't think it was very funny at the time.
No,
I thought it was really poetic that Joe and I'm missing her name. The Harville.
Ellen.
Ellen, yeah.
Ellen, that's it. That Joe and Ellen died that way because Joe's father also died trying to protect the damn Winchesters. And
God, yeah.
It's just been this entire cycle of their family constantly giving their all for this family. And why? You know, like, why did they do it? But you see this, it just kind of gives credit to the epicness of the story. So I did like it. And it was heartbreaking.
This particular episode seemed like the latest episode seemed like they were kind of running in circles and they really didn't get anything done. The devil really didn't do anything except for taunt them a little bit and leave a cliffhanger.
I don't even know what happened at the end.
Yeah, me either.
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what happened.
Lined up some people and then he made them fall down and then
They hid in the bushes.
Hanukkah.
Basically, the townsfolk, they sacrificed their soul so that this, Lord, I can't think of what it was. The demon that he was trying to conjure, you know, they basically had to give themselves up as sacrifice, you know, to feed this power and to bring this being to life. And so that's pretty much what happened. And Cassiel was able to get Sam and Dean out of there before,
right,
you know, they got hurt. So, you know, I don't know. I think we're in for a bumpy rest of the season.
Go ahead.
You know, it's kind of like, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think they kind of gave us the lighthearted episodes to kind of, you know, lighten the load up a bit, because I think that once they come back from hiatus, it's going to be a straight shot. They're literally going to put us through hell for the rest of the season.
Stressful. I don't know. Yeah. Was for the last time we talked, did we already see the convention one? We've already done that one, right? You and I, Hanukkah?
I'm trying to think. I believe we did.
Okay. So, but we did not do the one where they were trapped in the hospital and...
TV Land one.
Yeah, TV Land. That was such a great episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we had done that one.
Yeah.
That is going in my, like, all-time favorites.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I just... That
episode, I mean, from the opening credits to... the opening credits themselves were hilarious.
Oh God, they were just like in 50s TV Land. They were smiling, they were happy, riding bikes together for crying out loud. Dean, son of a bitch, you know, it was just really funny, and I like the way
Sam
they
as
funny.
Kit.
Oh yeah,
Sam as Kit was like one of the funniest parts of the whole episode.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. And when Dean is in the trunk getting the guns, he's like, "Dude, that just doesn't feel right."
That's gross.
That episode was priceless. But then the thing that got me was to find out who the trickster was and how he had been manipulating them since the beginning of, you know, from when he met them, you know, two, three seasons ago. Just the way that they've been tying the whole story arc together is like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, they really have been planning this whole storyline from the get-go. And it's just amazing to me to see how they bring in all these different characters and how they're making it tie in, and they're doing a really good job of it. There's like, the Supernatural is one of those shows where it's hard to find a loophole or something that they missed. The writers are excellent when it comes to weaving that storyline together.
What was the trickster? What angel is he?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, okay.
Which is the, like, yeah, mm-hmm. He's a huge, huge angel. I don't know. Like, I thought that it would, in the context of that episode, I thought it was fantastic because they took something hilarious and paired it with something like moving and shocking and so instrumental to the entire plot.
I think
that's something they've been working at for a long time, trying to get that balance in there, and they finally found it. But I don't know if I feel like that was something they always knew they were going to do. It does kind of seem like somebody went, oh, you know what's an awesome idea? And it just happened to be an awesome idea. I really like it. I wouldn't say no to any of it, but I'm not sure that it's something that they had in mind when they first introduced the character.
No, Kripke has always said that he had a specific story that he was going to tell, and he knew that he was going to take 5 seasons to do it. Supernatural from the get-go has always been a 5-season story arc. So he's always known what direction the characters were going to go.
I do feel like the angels came out of nowhere. The angels did feel like they came out of nowhere. But it only
there were no hints. Maybe there were. I don't know.
But somebody pointed out a long time ago that, you know, you have all these demons. Where are the angels? You just can't have a world full of... And I just thought
demons
it was just like a...
I
thought it was just like a regular world. World sucks. Yeah, it's just going to be demons. There are no angels. And the angels aren't that much better, to tell you the truth. So... I'm on the fence about that one, but when they did introduce the angels, it felt like, where did they come? Where is this coming from? Okay, so predictions. Who do we think is God? I know, Hanako, we have our preferences, but Jackie, who do you think is
God? Winchester.
That would be fantastic.
They need to bring. Oh my God. They need to bring Jeffrey Dean Morgan back. I want to see him as God. Yes, they need to bring him back.
But think about this one.
Jenny is God.
What did she say?
That would explain a lot of on Grey's Anatomy too. Jenny is God. Anyway, sorry.
What?
You guys don't watch Grey's?
No, I don't. Not at all. So I didn't get that at all.
Okay. Yeah.
What? Oh, okay.
He played a hallucination for years. Anyway, he keeps coming back from the dead.
Oh.
Sense that he came back from the dead like 8 times. So it would make sense if he was God. I don't know, actually. I've never really thought about that. I've been trying to be really careful about spoilers this year and not taking any, trying not to click those links, because I don't
know. There's spoilers for that already?
I don't do
spoilers either. I think that they have mentioned a couple of spoilers as far as what's going to happen in the few episodes, and Jim Beaver has been teasing us on Twitter for the last week or so. I'm one of those as well. When it comes to Supernatural, I don't do spoilers, period. I can do.
Oh, okay.
What's your question?
What about the mom is God? We know she was a hunter. She's been dead. She's also a being who's they've been trying to get to. She has, you know, less involvement as the dad. The dad I would prefer him because I think he's so handsome. But the mom, it could be her, or it could just be some random person, since like the devil was a random guy.
forgot.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to see someone random because everyone else in their lives is dead. Not to say that there's any reason why a dead person couldn't be God. I don't know. I just don't really see anybody sticking out in my mind as to who would be. Because, like, Jess has kind of been overdone. One person we haven't seen back is Dean's true love girl. Season one or whatever. Like, the only girl he ever actually cared about.
What's her name? Cassie.
Cassidy. No, I can't see that. Like, that's too obscure.
But it is.
We haven't seen her.
That's
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, well...
Is the vampire hunter guy dead?
The guy from X-Files, black guy?
He's done it. He's in jail or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Sam cut off his head!
Really?
With a wire. Wasn't that it? Yeah. That happened. Sorry.
It's been so long, I forget some of the details. Cry, little sister. Well, ladies, I am going to wrap this one up. We've been, at it for I don't know how long we've been at it, but it's been a really, really great episode. I'd like to thank you for coming on today, Hanako. Where can we find you on Twitter and on the web?
I am practically everywhere on campus, HMR Potter, so
okay.
That's how you can find me.
Okay, and Jackie?
I am at jerksdoublebitch.com, blogging about TV, and you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/jerksdoublebitch.
Okay, and Eric, are you still alive?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wow, I muted my mic so you couldn't hear my snoring.
Oh, God.
Well, 33 on
you
Twitter.
You can find him on at 33, and you can find me at FancyFemBot, and this is sci-fi-partyline.com, 773-336-2686, 773-336-2686, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Vampire Diary supernatural hater.
Just bleh, just bleh. I wouldn't go so far as that, but it's just bleh for me personally.
Calm down, sir. Calm down. Hey, hey, we're not recording just yet. Let's just, you know, let me bring in. You see how defensive
he is? It's a strong word, that's all.
You're not going to win. You got three fan girls on it.
Okay.